Well, welcome back. It's great to see you guys. Is it hotter than you thought it'd be in here, or not as hot as you thought it'd be? Not as hot? Same. You can thank my brother Kenny for having the great idea of placing some fans back there to blow cold air in here. We started earlier in the day, and it's not so bad, right? Yeah. Thank you, Kenny. Okay. Last week, we kind of started just a short little series on things that should mark the character of Jesus followers, especially in a time like we find ourselves in right now. And so last week, we talked about love as really the first and primary thing that should define our character and our behavior and kind of like the vibe that we put out as Jesus followers. And so this week and next week, we're going to talk about a few more. And what we're going to talk about today is gentleness. Gentleness, besides love, I think this characteristic or fruit of the Spirit is probably the thing that the world desperately needs from us the most, besides love. And it's not something that we're seeing a lot of right now, is gentleness. But it is something that should be a goal for us as Jesus followers. The old school word that our Bibles might use or that your grandma might still use is the word meek or meekness. So we're kind of talking about gentleness and meekness today. It is a primary trait of Jesus himself. It's a trait he wants his followers to have. It's a trait that God has wanted Israel to have since the beginning. It is a trait of wise people. It's actually not a human kind of personality trait or characteristic. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is evidence of God's presence in someone's life that changes them from the inside out. And so before we dig into kind of what gentleness means and what that should look like in our life, I kind of want to just take a fast trip through a bunch of scriptures. If you're like the person that writes down every scripture, you're going to have to be really fast, or we can send it out in an email or something, because I'm going to go through a bunch of them really fast, and then we'll land on one of them at the end as we talk about what gentleness looks like in our life. Okay, so first, gentleness is like old school. It's back in the Old Testament. The first, or one of the first mentions, is in Zephaniah chapter 3:12. So this is the prophet Zephaniah, or the Lord through the prophet, kind of describing what the kingdom of God is going to be like ultimately when Jesus comes, or when the Messiah was going to come and establish his kingdom. What kind of people would be a part of this kingdom of Israel? And God says through Zephaniah, I will leave within you the meek, or the gentle and humble. The remnant of Israel will trust in the name of the Lord. So right there, we have this picture of what God wanted his people to be like in his kingdom, was people who were meek or gentle. We then read in the wisdom literature of the Bible, we'll look at Proverbs 15:1. This is like the book that God's people would read, that we read, that kind of tells us like how to, as much as it's possible for us, to be smart and to be wise in the world. And so we read this, Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Can you think of a more appropriate, applicable verse for this season of our life? A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue, or sometimes translated as soothing tongue, is a tree of life. It brings life and fruit into the world, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 25:15, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Or another way of saying that is a gentle tongue is very powerful. So gentleness is like Old Testament, old school wisdom for the people of God. It's also a characteristic of Jesus himself. So we read in Matthew 21:5, Matthew is quoting the prophet Zechariah from Zechariah 9, and they're describing what it's like when the Messiah comes back to Israel to establish his kingdom. And so we read, Zechariah quoted in Matthew 21:5, say to daughter Zion, which is just another way of saying Israel, say to Israel, see, your king comes to you, your Messiah comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, not riding on like a war horse triumphantly entering into a city to conquer it, but gentle, riding on a humble donkey. We read in Matthew 11:29, the words of Jesus himself, "Take my yoke upon you, take my way of life, my teaching upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And then additionally, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is kind of correcting and teaching the Corinthian church, and he's establishing kind of his basis for doing so, and he does so by saying, "By the humility and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you." So this is Paul basing what he's about to say to the Corinthians on the gentleness of Jesus. Gentleness is also just a value in the kingdom of God. We read in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Galatians 5:23 says the fruit of the Spirit is a big old list of things. One of them is gentleness and self-control. Colossians 3:12, "Therefore," we're almost done, don't worry. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." 1 Timothy 6:11, "But you, man of God, flee from all this bad, evil, unrighteous stuff and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." You guys getting the picture? Gentleness is a thing that should be kind of shown to each other within the family of God. It should be a family trait that we show to one another. We read in Galatians 6:1, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Finally, gentleness is something that should not just be what we do within the family of God, but it should be a characteristic that goes out to the world, to outsiders, to everybody. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." And finally, 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord," or honor him as your master. "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Gentleness is important to the people of God. Can you guys see that throughout this 100 scriptures that I just shared? There is more that we could have gone into, but it should be a primary trait for those of us who are becoming more like Jesus. Now, there's a few different Greek words in the New Testament that are translated as gentle. One of them is defined in this way. It says that gentleness is not insisting on every right of letter of law or custom, yielding, gentle, kind, courteous, tolerant. And then the other word is defined this way, that gentleness is the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Gentleness, humility, courtesy, considerateness, or meekness. A quick Google search bringing up English or definitions of our English word gentle shows this, that gentleness is having or showing a mild, kind, or tender temperament of character, or that gentleness, something that is gentle, is moderate in action, effect, or degree, not harsh or severe. Okay. Language is a strange thing because we can only define a word by using other words. It's kind of inherently circular. So there's overlap between our understanding of gentleness and then the other words that we used to define it. Yielding, kind, mild, tolerant, humble, courteous, considerate, and so on. But the thing I want us to understand the most is that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It is not a personality trait that you may or may not have. If you feel like how you are just as a person in the flesh is not that gentle, it's not an excuse that you don't get to be gentle. It is a fruit that the Spirit grows in us organically. Now, there's all sorts of kind of cultural understandings of what gentleness looks like depending on how you were raised and what family you grew up in. So just to clear a few things up, gentleness doesn't necessarily mean that you have like a soft, warm, sweet voice. But it does mean that you should never use your voice or your words to establish yourself up over somebody, and that you should never use harsh or severe words to wound somebody. Gentleness doesn't mean that you're not strong. It doesn't mean that you couldn't or wouldn't defend yourself or others from harm, but it does mean that aggression is not your default. And it means that over time, with the help of the Spirit, you are like the master of and in control of your anger and in control of how you use your physical body. Gentleness doesn't mean that you let people hurt you or walk all over you, but it does mean that in many cases you lay down your right to justice, or you lay down your desire to retaliate, and you yield to others. So for a Christian, the kind of way I've been thinking about this is that to be gentle is to set aside or lay down your power, whether that be physical or intellectual or social. And sometimes this looks like just being quiet, being humble, being respectful, being tolerant of others who think differently than you, trying to become someone who helps bring like soothing to situations or who is calming or peaceful. It's where we choose, if we want to be gentle, we choose not to make much of ourselves, and we live rather relying on the power of and the wisdom and the justice of God. Okay, so the final text we're going to look at is in Titus chapter 3. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to be here just for a little bit. It'll be up on the screen. Titus chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. And I'm just going to read that section for you. Remind the people, this is Paul talking to Titus, a pastor, and he says this, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. These are fighting words in our world right now. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. Let's keep reading. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This has been one of my favorite passages of Scripture for a very long time. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. We read it a couple times. Can you think of a more timely passage for followers of Jesus right now than Titus 3, 1 and 2? Reminding us to be subject to rulers and authorities, obedient, ready to do what is good, slandering no one, peaceable, considerate, and always gentle toward everyone. There's no escape from that call to be gentle. Always gentle toward everyone. And then verse 3 says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived. This verse, verse 3, connects why we are supposed to be considerate and peaceable and gentle. It connects that to the gospel. We are people who don't slander, who are obedient to our rulers and authorities, who are considerate and gentle, because we too were once foolish and disobedient, deceived, living in anger and envy, hated by people, hating other people. But that's not who we are anymore, says Paul. So we read in verse 4 through 6, When the goodness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. So we are considerate, peaceable, kind, gentle people because we used to not be, and God lifted us out of that. It's not like we did that for ourselves. We didn't pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. God saved us not because of the good things we've done, but because of his mercy and because he generously poured out his Spirit on us, giving us new life. And verse 7 says we're not justified by our actions. We are brought into the family of God because that's a gift of God, which makes us heirs, children of God in his kingdom. And then verse 8, he says, this is a trustworthy saying. You can count on what I've been saying to you as true. And then Paul says, I, Paul, want you, Titus, to stress these things. So Paul is encouraging a pastor to remind his church of these things. And if it wasn't clear, that's what's happening right now in this very room. Stressing these things, reminding you, reminding myself that the gospel of Jesus has changed us. It has replaced our sinful hearts with hearts that are filled with God's Spirit. And now we can and we should devote ourselves to good works, to goodness, and namely, becoming a people who are gentle and peaceable and considerate, because that's what the gospel does. The gospel, over time, creates gentle, kind people. And that's who we're supposed to be. And man, church family, gentleness is attractive to our world right now. It might be kind of an unassuming or low-profile characteristic compared to how many people are behaving. But if we can put this on, this character of Jesus, gentleness or meekness, we could, and the world needs, a force of peace and reconciliation, de-escalation, fruitful conversation and dialogue, and discussion about what's happening in our world that could lead to good things happening. And all of this is just a doorway to make much of the gospel and let Jesus shine through our character. And I think the world would be restored through that kind of love and gentleness that comes through Jesus' followers. And so all I want to do now is I want to pray, and I want to ask that God would do this in our hearts. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that you can force or rush. It's something that God's Spirit does in us. And so we want to come to him humbly and ask him to help us become a people who are gentle.